You are listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony. Please visit our website radiosai.org to listen to our free internet streaming service. On this website, you can access audio streams. The first three are Asia Stream, Afri Stream and Ameri Stream, which offer you programs in the languages common to these geographic regions. The other two streams are Bhajan Stream and Discourse Stream. Click on the Bhajan Stream to listen to Asai Bhajan at any time of the day. Similarly, to listen to the divine voice of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, please log on to the Discourse Stream. Just log on to radiosai.org and experience the divine love of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. For any inquiries, please email us at listener@radiosai.org.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Placing my humble pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Swami, dear listeners, I am Raghu signing in along with my friend audio engineer Yatharta, and we welcome you all for today's Thursday Live. And this is the segment, Service, Love in Action. I am speaking to you live from Radio Sai Studio at Prashanthi Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. Dear listeners, today is 14th of March and the time in our studio is 11 a.m. Well, just a couple of days back, that is on 10th of March, we all celebrated the majestic function festival Mahashivaratri. As every year, there was night-long bhajan singing in the Sai Kulanth Hall, which started at 6 p.m. on 10th and concluded next morning at 6 a.m. Dear listeners, the weather in the ashram is becoming hot every day. The temperature slowly increasing to 39 degrees Celsius during noon. But as always, everything here at Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram is divine, be it the festival, people or even temperature. As the Lord of the Universe, our beloved Swami has chosen this place as his headquarters to impart the sacred message to humanity to love all, serve all, help ever, hurt never. Well, dear listeners, deeply inspired by his message on selfless service, we have aptly named this segment as Service, Love in Action. So welcome once again, dear listeners, to this segment. I always like to begin this segment by narrating an inspiring story. Well, a couple of weeks back, I got this story as an email forward. It seems once a priest was on a long flight home after a church conference. When he was on flight, the first warning of approaching problems came when the fasten your seatbelt sign flashed on. And after a while, a calm voice said, "We shall not be serving beverages at this time as we are expecting a little turbulence. Please make sure you have fastened your belt." The priest looked around the aircraft and saw that many of the passengers were becoming apprehensive. Later, the voice on the intercom said, "We are sorry that we are unable to serve meals at this time. The turbulence is still ahead of us." And then the storm broke. The ominous cracks of thunder could be heard even above the roar of the engines. Lightning lit up the darkening skies, and within moments that great plane was tossed around like a cork in a celestial ocean. One moment it was lifted on a terrific current of air, the next it fell on as if about to crash. As the priest looked around, he could see that nearly all passengers were alarmed, except one little girl. She sat calmly, feet tucked under her, looking at pictures in a book, oblivious of the turbulence around her. Sometimes she would close her eyes and then she would go back to her book. But finally the storm stopped and the plane landed safely. The passengers were disembarking. The priest approached the little girl and asked her why she was not afraid like the other passengers. The little girl replied, "Because my daddy is the pilot and he is taking me home." Dear listeners, there are many storms that buffet us, physical, mental, financial, domestic and other storms that can darken our skies and throw us into turmoil. Like that little girl, let us always remember, our Divine Father is the pilot for our journey of life. He is in control. He will take us home. Don't worry. Well, keeping this mind and prostrating at our Divine Father, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba's lotus feet, let me start today's segment by playing for you two songs from the album Sai Nadachari. It's a Sai Blossom product and the singers are Malladi Brothers.
జనుల మధ్య తిరుగాడే జగపతి జడులు తెలియగలరే నీ సంగతి జనుల మధ్య తిరుగాడే జగపతి జడులు తెలియగలరే నీ సంగతి హరివో మరి హరుడవో యౌవనైననేమి అందరిని బంగారు అని పిలిచే స్వామి హరివో మరి హరుడవో యౌవనైననేమి అందరిని బంగారు అని పిలిచే స్వామి జనుల మధ్య తిరుగాడే జగపతి జడులు తెలియగలరే నీ సంగతి పుట్టపర్తిలోనున్నా పుడమి అంతా నీదే ఎట్టి ఎండకైనా నీ కొడుకు నీడమాదే పుట్టపర్తిలోనున్న పుడమి అంతా నీదే ఎట్టి ఎండకైనా నీ కొడుకు నీడమాదే రాతి గొంతు తడిపి తప్పి తీర్చిన చేయి పాతలన్నీ మార్చేసిన రత్నాకర సాయి రాతి గొంతు తడిపి తప్పి తీర్చిన చేయి రాతలన్నీ మార్చేసిన రత్నాకర సాయి జనుల మధ్య తిరుగాడే జగపతి జడులు తెలియగలరే నీ సంగతి జనుల మధ్య తిరుగాడే జగపతి జడులు తెలియగలరే నీ సంగతి వేదంలో గణమెత్తే నాదాని వినివే శ్వేతంలో మొలకెత్తే మోదాని వినివే వేదంలో గణమెత్తే నాదాని వినివే శ్వేతంలో మొలకెత్తే మోదాని వినివే ఆశయాని ఆచరణకు జగ చేసిన దేవా ఆదర్శం అడుగడుగున శృతి చేసిన ప్రభువా ఆశయాని ఆచరణ పుజ్యత చేసిన దేవ ఆదర్శం అడుగడుగున శృతి చేసిన ప్రభువా జనుల మధ్య తిరుగాడే జగపతి జడులు తెలియగలరే నీ సంగతి జనుల మధ్య తిరుగాడే జగపతి జడులు తెలియగలరే నీ సంగతి జనుల మధ్య తిరుగాడే జగపతి
Listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony. Radio Sai brings to you every day the teachings and the universal message of love of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba.
నామస్మరణము సాయి రూప ధ్యానము. సాయి నామస్మరణము సాయి రూప ధ్యానం సదా మాకు ఇగ పరల నొసగు సాధనం. సాయి నామస్మరణం సాయి రూప ధ్యానం సదా మాకు ఇగ పరల నొసగు సాధనం. సాయి నామస్మరణం సాయి రూప ధ్యానం.
Listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony, bringing you the message of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories is our weekly radio series in which we bring you conversations with the former students of Bhagwan Baba's schools and colleges.
Let me narrate to you an episode. Our room leader was Kotesa. I asked him, is it compulsory to go for darshan. I had the nerve to ask him that.
I think it's a very sea change when you become a Sai student, because it's only when I joined the Sakshi Sai College I discovered that this God is not a photograph on the wall, and he's not something so distant. It's something very, very near you.
And this was lovely, because there you had on the gymnastic bench the student on one side, Swami on the other side, locked in battle. Again, it was arm wrestling with Swami. With Swami.
And having been given the divine golden opportunity to have studied in his institutions and directly experienced his love, then we have to really live our lives to reflect his teachings. Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories is our weekly radio series in which we bring you conversations with the former students of Bhagwan Baba's schools and colleges. You can listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai on the Morning Glory segment of Thursday Live, which starts at 9:40 a.m. To know about the timings of this weekly series, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website, radiosai.org. You can also download and listen to Fleeting Moments at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/Sai Students. That is radiosai.org/SAI STUDENTS, with Sai Students being one word. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to today's Thursday Live. This is the segment Service, Love in Action, and I am Team Radio Sai Raghu. Well, dear listeners, last week, if you were there with me, you may be aware that I had played for you a few clips from an interview that we had recorded on October 2010 with a cardiac surgeon, Dr. Valluvan Jeevanandam from USA, in which he spoke about Baba's Super Speciality Hospital. Well, as you heard in that in those clips, it seems when doctor heard about this hospital for the first time, he just couldn't believe that there exists a hospital which gives cardiac surgery for free. It seems it didn't just register to him that a hospital, such hospital could even exist. And what struck to him in the beginning was how quiet and peaceful the hospital was. There were many people and all were quietly sitting down, and it seemed, after having worked in many hospitals in US, he has never seen a hospital that is so quiet and peaceful. And you had very soft bhajans being played in the background. It was like a place of peace. And even that time, he didn't comprehend that this was actually a hospital where you could work in. It seems he thought it was more coming to a temple where you would meditate. So, dear listeners, continuing from last week, last Thursday, let me now play for you another clip from that interview. And in this clip, we asked him that to what extent and to what and how this hospital can be replicated in other places. And for this, he said,
obviously has divine stamp. It has Swami stamp on the hospital. It has this very, very tight influence. And Swami has set a very high example, right? Swami is a perfectionist. You know, if there is one comma missing on a text that could be 5,000 pages, Swami will open the page right away and say, you know, is this correct?
Right.
And so Swami has built this hospital from that perspective. It's an ideal that we should all attain, okay? People say, can this be replicated? Yes, yeah, Swami's replicated it in Bangalore.
Yes.
Okay. Can it be replicated in other places? You know, this is replicated because of Swami's grace, and it's an ideal example. Can it truly be replicated in other places? I think, you know, with Swami's grace, it can be. But on the other hand, people should look at this as an ideal model and try to make something as close to the ideal model as possible. You want to attain the ideal, which is absolutely no charge. Can it be done in reality? You know, to be honest with you, probably not. However, I think people can take a different approach.
Even that this is working, and this hospital is working. Of course, Swami's grace is there, but ultimately it is inspired people. It's people who are, and it's happening in a developing country. Far from resources, you always need dedication and inspiration. If somebody were to ask, see, if this is happening in a developing country, can it not happen in one of the richest countries of the world?
So, I mean, yes, it's happening in a developing country, but it's happening because of Swami. You know, Swami's always said, at one point, there weren't enough doctors. And Swami's always said, I can open my hand and all the doctors in the world will come here. And if you look at the conferences that Swami's had, he's done that. I mean, you know, leaders in the field come when Swami opens his hand. Well, unfortunately, in Chicago, when an administrator opens his hand, it's not going to happen. Okay. So I think in a developed country, again, giving free care is a noble idea. But ultimately, there has to be resources in the background that make a hospital operate. I mean, here, you know,
but
there
resources are not scarce.
They are not scarce, but they're also not freely available. Okay, because you have your Bill Gates, and you have your, you know, people who are worth billions and billions of dollars, and then so there's a wide spectrum of wealth, and so that wealth is not freely available from a hospital. Now there's government-run hospitals, so like in Chicago, for instance, in Cook County Hospital, even if you have no insurance, okay, you can come to that hospital and you can get care. And you can get the same care that somebody who has insurance. And that's all underwritten by the hospital. On the other hand, they cannot do that to every single person who comes to the hospital. So if somebody has insurance, they can pay, or they pay what they can, and then the government underwrites the rest. But again, that's a government-run hospital system. I don't think a private person can run something like that. And yet, again, the resources are not infinite. So people who can pay, pay. But you never tell somebody who cannot pay that they can't get care. And like I work at a completely private hospital. And, you know, if we were giving free care to everybody, very soon they would fire me because they would be, you know, losing money. As a department chairman, I have to balance the need to give care to everybody with also the need to run a financially viable enterprise.
So what you're saying is this is the ideal setup, and this message can be replicated to some extent.
Correct. I think the message should be that everybody should get care.
Right.
Whether they can afford it or not,
I think that
they should get care.
What the current political debate, which has also now become political. Of course, it was always political. Healthcare debate, which is going on in the U.S., it's all about making healthcare accessible to all.
And I think that's a very important aspect, you know, universal healthcare,
right,
and that everybody should get healthcare.
Mm.
I think
this hospital epitomizes that, I feel.
Well, this, as we had discussed, this is the ideal,
yes,
right? And so here, everybody gets care, whether you are a billionaire or somebody who has much less resources. Everybody gets the same care, and no one pays a bill. And that is Swami's ideal. Okay, but in reality, with universal health care, there are going to be people who cannot afford it, and some people who can afford it. So the people who can afford it need to subsidize the people who cannot afford it. So I think, you know, what we should do as a
people who have should share.
I think correct. So I think universal health care means that everyone should get care. Whether you can afford it or not, care should not be denied because you cannot afford the care. So if you happen to be unfortunate and you've lost your job, you get care. If you're a millionaire, you get care. So money should not dictate whether you get care or not. But only in Swami's hospital can money not change hands. In that situation, although everybody will get care, a population, a portion of that population will have to subsidize the other portion.
That's what Swami's message is all about, the message of compassion, the message
Correct.
Of pure love. I think one strong message that Swami is giving through all his service projects is, yes, it has all happened because of his divine sankalpa, but at the same time, it has happened through people, and it has happened through hearts who are transformed. It has happened through people who have filled their hearts with compassion.
Correct.
And if more and more people can transform their hearts in this manner, then don't you think this is possible?
I think eventually it's possible, and that's what Swami's message is. You know, he's transforming people. You know, each person is going through their own journey. I mean, I've certainly gone through my journey as well. You know, when I started in the early 90s, late 80s, it's very interesting. I was just finishing my training. And at that time, you know, very materialistic, you know, wanting, already planning for two houses and your Mercedes Benz and your BMW and your multiple TVs, etc. I think, you know, in an interesting way, Swami let me have those fantasies. And then when I actually became a practicing physician and I started having money, Swami said, okay, now you come to my fold. And I live an extremely, extremely blessed life with Swami's hands. You know, we make, you know, a great amount of money, etc. But it does, that doesn't drive me
right
as much as it would have in the past. And I think, you know, Swami has certainly transformed me in that respect.
So once there is a critical mass of such people who are similarly inspired, then anything is possible.
Yes. I mean, if Swami wants it to happen, it will happen. You know, whether it's in this avatar or the next avatar, it's happening.
People are doing it in their own way. Just as I was mentioning to you before we started, there is this free clinic in Ashland.
Yes.
By Dr. Joe Fanouf, who's running it absolutely free. And there are similarly several initiatives. I think one interesting model which is happening in Chennai is what they call a virtual super speciality hospital, wherein one bed is offered free each by 100 hospitals. So that way they have a network of 100 hospitals. And since these hospitals have specialties in various disciplines, so they have kind of a virtual super speciality hospital. So they locate these poor patients from the villages and then they are treated here absolutely free because they give this one bed free by every hospital.
So I think you make a fantastic point. I think that's when you say, can this be duplicated? It cannot be duplicated the way it is. But we can come towards the model.
Take the spirit of the message.
It's the spirit, it's the example, it's the model. I mean, there are incredible number of places around the world where a model similar to this exists. There are things like Doctors Without Borders, and they go out to different places around the world and do cardiac surgery. You know, we have some many doctors who, you know, put together through corporate help a hospital and an airplane, for instance, and go to remote areas of Africa and do free care. Even in, you know, in many institutions, you know, there is the underlying theme of, okay, don't deny anybody care. So we're always going to figure out a way how to give care to somebody.
And working through all these people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think, again, he sets the example,
yes,
and we follow. I think that virtual hospital in Chennai is a magnificent example. I mean, I think in the outside world, in the physical reality, we cannot all give free care. But, you know, perhaps everybody says we're going to give one day a month or we're going to do two procedures a month. And if, you know, all cardiac surgeons say we're going to do two free procedures a month, then you have your virtual hospital all around the world. And I think that is how the message will slowly percolate in.
In our small ways, we start bridging the gap between the people who have and people who do not.
And I think it's happening. Swami's message is coming through. A lot of that is because of the internet. Now, you know, whatever Swami does and what his message is propagated very, very quickly. And that, of course, is all Swami. You know, 20 years ago, you know, if I would write here for permission to come to the hospital, you know, it would take weeks and weeks and weeks to get an answer back. Now, of course, when you write, you get an answer back right away. But, you know, interestingly, the message is the same. Let me just give you an example. 2001, Dr. Venugopal had asked, he was putting a conference together around November time. And so he said, if I could come and give a talk. And I said, okay, I'll come and give a talk, but I want to work in Puttaparthi first. So I would come here, work for a week, and then go give the talk. And that's usually how I was, you know, working and incorporating that with talks. So this was 2001, and I sent a letter, asked for permission to come and work. And that was like in June. And June came, July went, August went, it was already September, November was coming up. And I had not heard at all. And so I wrote another letter, still never heard anything. I said, maybe they just don't want me to come and work. Because without, of course, permission, you cannot come and work. I just gave up. And of course, 2001 was when 9/11 happened. And then when 9/11 happened, Dr. Venugopal, you know, 2 weeks later wrote me a letter saying, oh, that November is canceled. So that's why I probably never got invitation to come here, because my idea was to come here in November and then go there. So then that November got canceled, then he wrote a letter back saying, hey, we're going to have this in January. And so again, I wrote a letter and did not get a response. I said, oh, I don't know, maybe it's just not meant to me and I'm not going to work here. But I told Dr. Venugopal, okay, I'll come in January. And then about December 15th, I finally got the letter from Puttaparthi. And they said, okay, you can come and work the first week in March. And I said, why am I going to come in first week in March? Because I'm going to go there for January. And how can I come and work the first week in March? So then, about a week later, I get a call from Dr. Venugopal saying, you know, nobody's coming for this meeting, so we're going to cancel it in January. And then I said, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll go to Puttaparthi in March. And then you won't believe it, about another week later, I got another invitation to give a talk in Europe. So that was just before I was invited to come here. So Swami took care of that trip beautifully. You know, they never gave me permission to come. I missed 9/11. And then I went to Europe. I came here and I worked and I went back. When the message had to come, the message came when they were ready. Not when you're expecting the message. The message will come when Swami wants the message to come. His time. And without His time, you know, nothing works out. You know, it has to be His time. But the thing is, His time period and everything is very different than what we think is our time period. And, you know, we in the physical realm may think, hey, you know, why is this not happening now? But whatever Swami does is good for you. Whatever challenges He gives you are good for you. It's all meant towards transforming us into being better people.
You are listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony. Radio Sai brings to you every day the teachings and the universal message of love of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba.
Sairam, dear listeners, you just heard an excerpt of an interview with Dr. G. Valuvan Jeevanandam, a cardiac surgeon from USA. This interview was recorded in the OPD of Super Speciality Hospital here at Puttaparthi, so there was a lot of ambient noise, and it was recorded on October 2010. Well, Dr. Jeevanandam is a visiting doctor to Swami Super Speciality Hospital in Puttaparthi, and he comes twice a year. And it seems one Swami in an interview had said that he transplants heart. He can take one heart from another, but he can only transplant. Only Swami can transform. Isn't that amazing, dear listeners? Yes, it is. Okay, you are tuned to Asia Stream of Radio Sai, and I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai, hosting the segment Service Love in Action. And in this segment, as always, I talk about the various service activities done by Swami's devotees and his students. Moving forward in this segment, Service Love in Action, dear listeners, let me play for you a first-hand narration of a service activity undertaken by Miss Raina Desai, a Sai spiritual education student at Satya Sai Center of Farmington, Connecticut. She undertook this activity as a personal service endeavor in Zimbabwe. This story is taken from the website SaiLoveInAction.org, and we at Radio Sai are grateful to them for sharing this story with us.
In July 2011, I accompanied my mother to Zimbabwe to visit our relatives and the city where my mom grew up. This was my first trip there, and my mom warned me of how different life would be compared to what I'm used to in the U.S. There would be poverty and sickness almost everywhere. My parents thought it would be a wonderful learning opportunity for me if I were to visit a nearby orphanage and do something for the children. They wanted me to learn not to take my comfortable life for granted. Taking their suggestions to heart and reflecting deeper on what I could do, I came up with the idea of conducting a drive for school supplies at my school so I could donate supplies to the children at the orphanage. Just carrying out this drive for supplies would also help me break out of my comfort zone. So, before the trip, a couple of mornings a week at school, I would make an announcement to the whole school, sharing about this project and requesting items that were needed. It was gratifying to see my school friends donate generously, and we managed to collect enough supplies to fill two whole suitcases. I was happy just thinking of the smiling faces of the children at the orphanage, being very excited to receive all these gifts. Finally, it was time for the trip to Zimbabwe. When we arrived, I could not wait to go to the Emerald Hill Orphanage in Harare and deliver the donations. On my journey there, however, my whole mood changed. At times I felt a little excited, and other times very nervous, because I didn't know what to expect or how I would feel upon seeing the living conditions and health of the children. I was afraid it would be too unbearable for me, but I remembered that I was doing this for Sai Baba, and that it was about serving and bringing joy to others, not about my own fears and worries, and the butterflies in my stomach soon settled. When we arrived, we found that the children, except for the little ones, were in school. We handed over our donations to the woman in charge, who thanked us profusely for the school supplies. She then gave us a tour of the children's living quarters. The senior girls' rooms held two girls per room. There were posters, brightly colored bedding and furniture, and even comforts like stuffed animals. It made me realize that these kids have the same needs for comforts as any other teenager. The junior boys' rooms, on the other hand, each housed about 20 to 25 boys, with very little space between the beds to even walk around. These rooms looked drab, and in one room were three young boys lying sick in their bed. When I saw their sad, pleading, and curious eyes, I realized how lucky I am to have a loving family to take care of me when I'm sick. The orphanage had a total of 98 boys and girls. When I heard that sobering fact, I felt deeply for the kids, because it meant 98 youths either did not have parents or had parents who couldn't take care of them. This also made me feel thankful that God had given me a loving family, a roof to stay under, food to eat, and other material things. I prayed to Sai Baba to take care of those kids and provide them for whatever they needed. After we toured the kids' rooms, we went to the main study area where the children completed their homework after school. In the elementary classroom, I assisted a second grader with addition and subtraction. I even gave him a few extra problems just for practice. Then I spent time in a middle school room where I helped a sixth grader with place values of numbers. It was a great feeling to be able to help. We had a chance to visit the orphanage again during our trip, and this time we brought milk, cookies, and lollipops to hand out. I witnessed the children's joyous reactions to these simple gifts. Each and every one of them said thank you as they received their goodies. As I saw those smiles, I knew my dream had come true. Seeing their faces light up was so gratifying. I have a deeply etched picture in my mind of smiling kids holding hands with me right in the middle, singing a song of thanks and gratitude. I could feel the good energy surrounding me and such joy. I really felt like I had made a small contribution somewhere in the world. I had taken steps beyond my home, into my community, and into the greater world. Sai Baba says, love all, serve all. I try to put this message into practice. Start off doing something within one's neighborhood, and then gradually serve in expanded ways with love. I also learned that God is always with me if I leave everything up to Him. I know He was present during this project. I know He was the one who planted the thought to carry out the project. I know He provided the big box of supplies for the orphanage. And even more important, I know He was the one saying thank you and smiling at the delectable treats as He received them. He was with me throughout this whole journey and will stay with me always. During my two visits to the orphanage, I felt his love and warmth in the children who embraced me. I am blessed to know that I have the Lord constantly looking after me and guiding me in a way that I can be closer to him. I am so happy to have carried out this service. I stepped out of my comfort zone to allow new experiences to touch me. I went to Africa with two suitcases filled with donations and came back with a heart filled with love. This was a new type of service activity for me, and when it was over, I wrote in my diary of how exciting and impactful the whole experience had been and how it had changed me.
Sairam, dear listeners, you are tuned to Asia's stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony, bringing you the message of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. What you heard just now was a first-hand narration of a service activity undertaken by Miss Raina Desai in Zimbabwe. Miss Raina Desai is a Sai spiritual education student at the Satya Sai Center of Farmington, Connecticut. She undertook this activity as a personal service endeavor. Well, dear listeners, this story is taken from the website SaiLoveInAction.org, and we at Radio Sai are grateful to them for sharing this story with us. Dear listeners, in one of the earlier Thursday lives, I had played for you in this segment a conversation that we had with a couple of Sai youth from Mumbai, that is with Mr. Shivakumar Vishwanathan and Sister Sucharita. They had told us many innovative service activities that they have been undertaking for the slum kids in Mumbai. One such service activity that they have named it innovatively is called PBC, that is Bol Bindas Class. Well, a couple of days back, we got a mail from them describing some more activities. So I want to read out that beautiful poetic mail for you all. But before that, let me play for you a small clip from that conversation with Mr. Shivakumar Vishwanathan and Sister Sucharita, Sai youth from Mumbai, in which they tell us about this PBC, that is Bol Bindas Class.
The first one I can think of is very imaginatively titled, actually, as Bol Bindas.
Okay. Now, that'll really go well with the youngsters.
Yeah.
You should explain what is Bol Bindas.
It's called BBC.
Yeah. Oh. So it's called BBC, so it's actually called
you
the Bol
packaged
Bindas
it well.
Classes.
I don't know what the activity is, but it's really packaged well.
So the bol obviously means to say.
Yeah.
Bindas is actually a Mumbai slang.
Yes.
Where you are actually overflowing with confidence.
Mm.
So
yes.
That's
so
you that's
a
the
Bindas
combination.
Guy, you can do anything.
Yeah, you can do anything.
You call it overconfidence.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah, but this class is, I mean, like the Bindas activity is channelized in a very positive way.
Yes.
The starting point for this Bol Bindas class is almost about 6 years ago when. On one night when an uncle was driving across town and he saw the children who are from the slum areas, they were actually preparing for their board examinations under the street light. So he felt that can the Sai Samiti do something for these children? So what was done over the next fortnight of their board examinations, that the volunteers used to just take tea and biscuits and they used to promptly land at the garden at about 12 in the night. And they used to just, spend about 20-25 minutes with the children. They used to give them tea and snacks, and they used to just give a few words of encouragement, talk to them.
Yes.
And that continued for about 15 days, and they were curious to know who are these people who are coming and giving us this and encouragement and tea and snacks and all that. And at the end of the board exam time, it was also found or it was thought that now after exams, what next? These children have got very limited options. Obviously they have got a lot of economical issues, and the environment in which they are makes it very easy for them to go into the bad company.
Yes.
So it was decided that we should have some kind of a follow-up program or a class whereby we could engage these children.
These children are from the slums, you mentioned.
These children are from the slums. And the biggest issue for the children at this age is of actually self-confidence. This is due to many issues. One is that they are not able to speak English, which fortunately or unfortunately is the way in which you need to have a good English speaking if you have to get anywhere
in today's times in India.
So it was decided, why not have a class that will aim to build their self-confidence?
Yes.
And so actually one of the ways to do that was to be able to train them in English. But unlike a standard English speaking class, this class is a little unique in the sense that it is totally informal. And I would just like to share a few mantras of this class, which every student has to swear by.
Mm-hmm.
The first mantra is actually, so what next?
So what next?
So what next? So even if you have any kind of problems or even if you come across failures, just move on. Okay, so what? Okay, so what's next now?
Okay, so that's learn to just tide over the challenges of life.
Yes, and another one is to actually get up and then you have to dress up and then you have to show up.
Okay.
No matter what, you have to be there.
Get up, dress
get
up, and,
dress up
show.
And show up every day.
Always be brave to take on what comes.
So,
wonderful.
So this is the mantra and a few unique aspects about this class.
It goes so well with Bunda's character.
So this class happens, from 5 to 7:30 every Sunday evening in a suburb of Mumbai, Chembur. And it happens in a sort of an abandoned shed, which was gifted to us by somebody.
Wonderful.
And in this class, there are a few rules that all the children are made to wear actually suits and tie.
Mm-hmm.
So we have provided suits and tie, and this is something that actually reinforces their confidence.
Yes.
And in every class, they are also made to read from actually the newspapers. They have to explain to us what are the current affairs that are happening in the world. And they also have to give maybe a 2-minute speech or a 3-minute speech on any topic.
Mm.
And believe me, I have personally worked with these children for the last 7 to 8 months.
Mm.
And I can remember a particular student, his name is Praveen, all of, I think, 15 or 16 years, very shy and totally lost, out of place. I mean, he must be wondering what I'm doing here and just quiet. And over the period when he started opening up, and today, it's very difficult to make him sit down. I mean, it just goes on and on. And the class also encourages, it takes the students outdoors.
Mm.
Like 3 months ago, we took the students to an actual boardroom in a company.
Corporate boardroom.
And we made them interact with the owners of the company. And they had prepared 2 to 3 minute speeches and they spoke. And this guy, Praveen, was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way he spoke on such profound topic, I think it was unity of religions. And there was, I mean, he actually spoke on Swami's quote, there's only one religion and that of humanity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very, very difficult topic for a 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And he did an amazing job. And even the company owners were very, very happy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very happy moment for us also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been an amazing experience.
I think you must have also been a witness to many touching scenes working with these children.
Yes, these children come from very, very difficult backgrounds. Sometimes the domestic harmony in their family is not at all there, and typically you have actually the alcoholic father issue or these kind of issues. So they come from such difficult backgrounds. And I still remember there was a girl and she was to give a 3-minute talk. This was about family and festivals. And she started speaking and then in the middle she just stopped and she just, she couldn't continue and she just started crying. And then she said that in my own house things are so bad, I don't know, and I'm speaking here about family and festivals and somehow. So we all actually consoled her and then she actually recovered from that and then she went on to make a speech. So that's something very, very, I can still remember
confidence. She got that confidence.
Yes. And this class over the last 5 years, as you can imagine, that students keep on changing once they are there for a year or two and then they get a job, so then they go out. But the amazing thing that these students have been recommending the class to their peers.
Mm-hmm.
and they are friends. So people still keep on coming in. And there have been very good stories about how students have now started appearing for the IAS. And there is this particular student who is now aspiring to be a musician.
Wonderful.
So these people have taken steps in their career which probably would have been too high a barrier for them in the normal course. And most importantly, this class engages them, teaches them the values, and keeps them away from the bad company and the other undesirable elements that are always waiting to take over.
I know.
So it's been an amazing experience.
You are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony, bringing you 24 hours a day the message of love of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome back to today's Thursday Life. This is the segment Service Love in Action, and I'm Raghu from Team Radio Sai. What you heard just now was an excerpt from an interview that we had with Sai Youth from Mumbai, Mr. Shivakumar Vishwanathan and Sister Sucharita. In conversation with them was Radio Sai's Bishop Rushdi. In the full interview, they had told us many innovative service activities that they have been undertaking for the kids from slum areas in Mumbai. And in this particular clip which you heard just now, they told us one such activity that is named as BBC, Bol Bindas Class. In fact, dear listeners, a couple of days back, we got an email from them describing summer service activities for the slum children of Mumbai. This they have named it as Midnight Seva. I want to read out this beautiful, poetic email for you all today, right now. So this mail goes like this. Even as the channels show pundits' debates on the budget blues, elsewhere, it's exam time and endless woes for the slum students of Mumbai, and for us, time again for Midnight Seva, the seventh year in a row. A seva for the SSC students from slums studying overnight in a garden in Chembur, with barely four lights on and plenty of mosquitoes putting the kids off. The civilization nearby has no clue of this primitive setup. Left to fend for themselves, these hapless kids slogged it out with no one caring. That's when we got to know of this island of aggravated students and decided to pitch in and help. Exactly 7 years ago. Slums in Mumbai can't provide for overnight study with the folks at home sleeping all around in cramped less than 100 square feet room. The SSC students run to the nearest open space with light to study overnight. Chimney Garden is one such chosen study center in Chembur, Mumbai for nearly 90 to 100 students. We serve tea, bananas, a dash of Odomos exactly at the stroke of midnight, so it's called Midnight Seva, and spend value time for about half an hour and come back. Night after night for 3 weeks till the last exam of SSC, after which we take them by walk to Siddhi Vinayak for thanksgiving to the darling deity of Mumbai, with each one sporting a t-shirt labeled Midnight Scholars, and we named them. Thereafter, they joined our weekly class, Bol Bindas, for English speaking, personality development and computer hardware learning. More than 200 students have gone through this so far and thankfully look back for the values they acquired here. They are made to wear suits and make presentation in every class. We take them for star gazing with astronomers and bird watching with ornithologists. Corporate visits are a part of curriculum. These kids struggling to make it big in life need only one little finger to hold and come up. Stretch your hand a little and reach, and see them coming around with hope that the society around them cares and there is light at the end of tunnel. Salute their spirit and serve them silently, and discover that it is one more way of quietly chanting Sai Ram. Let's give a hand and discover how, more than rescuing them, it rescues ourselves. So, dear listeners, that was a poetic email that we got from Chembur Sai Samiti in Mumbai. We are grateful to them to send us this mail and for sharing this selfless activity that is Midnight Seva with everyone. In fact, dear listeners, do let us know the various service activities that you all have been undertaking in your respective places. You can reach us through email. Our email ID is listener@radiosai.org. Dear listeners, this is the segment Service Love in Action, and the time right now in our studio is 11:50 a.m. and it's quite a warm afternoon here at Prashant Nilayam Ashram. Moving further in this segment, dear listeners, on 9th of March, that is last week, I had recorded a conversation with Dr. Gunanaka. He is a general physician from Sydney, Australia, and he comes to Prashant Nilayam to serve in Swami's General Hospital here at Puttaparthi. So he is organizing a Sai Medical Camp back in Australia and Fiji. So he spoke with me about the Sai Medical Camp, and I had recorded the conversation with him. And right now I am going to play you that conversation.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram. You are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony, and this is the segment Service Love in Action. As always, in this segment I talk about the various service activities done by Swami's students and his devotees. Today, dear listeners, is the 9th of March, and it's the eve of the festival Mahashivaratri, and many devotees have gathered here at Prashant Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe, from all around the world. And one among them is Dr. Gunanaka, a general physician more focused on acupuncture from Sydney, and he is right now here at our studio. And Dr. Gunanaka has been organizing a Sai medical camp in Australia and Fiji. So I requested him to come to our studio and talk more about this Sai medical camp, about its genesis, and to give us more details about it. So, Sai Ram sir, and welcome to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sai Ram Raghu, thanks Swami for giving me this opportunity to talk about the activities that we've been doing in Australia. As I mentioned, in Australia, initially we were planning to have a holistic clinic long time back. This happened about 1995 or 97 or something like that. And since then, we have been able to organize a Sai medical unit. And basically the Sai medical unit activities, members who are involving are for organizing camps locally whenever we have
medical camps.
Medical camps locally as well as overseas. And mainly the country that we've been involved is Fiji, and Nathan Chandra had been involved at tsunami time in Colombo and Sri Lanka. As far as the Sai medical unit is concerned, initially we started with activities like using members to help those people who are not covered by the National Health Scheme in Australia.
Okay.
Because there are people who come from overseas, and sometimes the relatives of especially Indians from coming from India or other countries, or it's like we have a lot of Fiji Indians who come to Australia and they haven't got any medical cover.
And they can't afford medical treatment.
They can't afford medical treatment. Mm. So that's where we focus on. And if they come to see me or say one of the other doctors who are part of the medical unit, will treat them free, and then if they need to be referred for further aid, you know, we can involve some of our members who are in the medical field. So that's how we worked on that.
Now, this Sai medical camp, what are specialties it consists?
Well, usually what happens, you know, when we have national conference also, we need to have some medical services. So these are the services that we do locally. Now, and also we once involved with the Aborigines, where we did some more educational activity in the medical field, because a lot of them are suffering from diabetes and blood pressure and other things, and they die prematurely. Mm. So that's why we focus on those sort of things. And when we realized a country like Fiji, where there was political issues as well as natural disasters. A lot of people were suffering and there was no national health scheme like what we have in Australia. So people didn't have facility to get services. So in fact, Dr. Nathan Chandra, who is a neurosurgeon from Canberra, initially started neurosurgical visits to Fiji about 12 years back. And since then he has been involved. And as far as our team is concerned, we've been involved since 2007.
Okay.
Our first team visit was along with the New Zealand team, because that's how we got our know-how from, because we didn't have any know-how about Fiji itself. But then once we found a report in Sanatan Sati, we thought, you know, we'll help, we'll get some help.
What was the report?
It was about the medical camp that they did in year 2006, first medical camp.
The New Zealand group did?
New Zealand team, okay. Yeah. So that's how we started involving. And from year 2008 onwards, we started doing our own. And New Zealand team goes once a year, and we go at the same time. But they go normally around April, and we go around August.
Okay.
Because I find that, you know, that way at least the island is served twice. And now, fortunately, Swami's grace, there is a free clinic also in near Latoka, which is serving under Sai's name, and is free run by Sai devotee.
So your group consists of how many doctors?
Usually what happens, because of the logistic reason, we can only involve about 40 members, which includes about 10 general volunteers, which do computer work and registering and all those sort of things, plus helping us out with transport and moving the equipment and doing troubleshooting and all those sort of things, as well as working out the whole movement of the camp. Because the camp, when we set up, you know, we normally set up at a school hall, a school facility, and usually the school facility, we take up most of the rooms, because we have an area where we do registration close to the waiting area. And at times, you know, we get number of each day, sometimes we can get up to about 500 to 600 people coming through. So we need to have adequate area. So I go in advance with one of my other colleague, and we scout and just talk with the local committees and organize all the sheds, cover area, so that, you know, people sit under a very comfortable
seat. Yeah, the patients
who are coming. And we also encourage the school to set up a canteen where people can buy food if necessary, because the people travel a fair bit of distance to come to the camps. So that area is from registration. From there we go to triage areas. The patients go from there to find out what their needs are, and then from there they're directed to the clinic. Now we have normally a general clinic, we have a dental clinic, we have eye clinic, and women's clinic. So usually women's clinic, we try to put it away from the general area so that, you know, they've got more enough privacy. So the flow is like from registration to triage. First they get numbers, and then they get registration and then triage. And all the members are registered properly, so we have all the details about the patient if you need to follow them up later on. So this has been very well designed by the general volunteers who've been involved with the IT part, so that works out very good. So if you have any problems later on about the patient follow up, we can always straight away get the records quite straight away.
So how will day start, sir? What will activities happen?
So as I said, you know, we might be staying at a hotel nearby, but, you know, we normally sometimes have to start at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock. We reach the destination in 1 or 2 hours, so we start setting up from 8 o'clock, the first station. Before we the other stations are set up, we normally put the registration and wait where the patients are waiting. Because as soon as the patient know, they're already there from 8 o'clock. So what we do is because the students are also involved with us, medical student from University of Fiji, which has got Umanand Prasad Medical School of Medicine.
Okay.
there are 40 students with us. And they've been, with Swami's grace, have been involved with us from the very inception of their medical school and our first medical camp. That was in 2008, which again happened.
So are they aware of Swami earlier?
Yeah, now they were not aware of Swami before, but now they are aware and the values that we have. So as I said, you know, with students, we give them start with the prayer of the prayer. Initially, we did, you know, old Hindu prayer, Islamic prayer, and Christian prayer. But we thought, you know, rather than that, now we have Swami's universal prayer to start with. And we have a read of thought of the day, which are pertinent to students as well as doctors. So that also has some impact on them. And the general public also, they realize we're starting with prayer. And at the end of the day, we again finish off with the satsang as well as bhajans and all those sort of things. So that becomes more a spiritual activity also.
So these students are from a medical college in Fiji?
Yes, they are from medical college, which is affiliated to Arya Samaj organization, and that's a university that comes from that. And as far as I knew, they were very much against Swami's activities, but now they've been, so because they've seen the values, they realize that, you know, this is what can help.
What has been the impact on these students after doing this activity?
Since they have been involved with us, they realize that, you know, the service, it's very, how important it is to deal with the patients who are, as a human being, we're not dealing with the disease, we're dealing with people, because our doctors themselves become preceptors to them, because they are helping the doctors to scribe, as well as help out translations, as well as they learn how to take history and how to examine and how to manage the plan, do the management plan, and ultimately even give the treatment. So this is something clinical experience they wouldn't have got otherwise, as well as the doctors, how they're doing the service with love and, you know, caring. Because quite a number of times we see when in the government organizations and even in general practice, sometimes people, doctors just ask for the disease and straight away start writing a prescription without sometimes even examining properly, whereas the doctors here take all the care to do a proper examination, as well as, I said, you know, because all the different clinics are there, they get all the care that they won't easily get in some of the situations. Because I've been to some of the hospitals, I won't say that, you know, they are below standard, but still there is a lot of waiting period. Whereas here, when we can see in a day, we can see quite a number of patients and they get benefit out of it. And especially in a dental clinic, especially, we have dental prosthesis who does fix a denture. So quite a number of times, young people, they have very bad teeth, and as a result, they find difficulty even getting a job or even find a girlfriend, because if they had good teeth, you know, they'll look, would have good smile. And at the end of the day, when this is done, and the tooth is removed or the tooth has been fixed and a denture has been made, it makes a complete change. We have all those pictures on our website, which is saiaustralia.org.au. Under the medical unit, if you see that, you'll see there are photos as well as there are videos which shows all those activities that we're doing there.
Okay, now you said your team goes to Fiji once in a year, that is during August, September months, right?
August, yeah.
So for how many days you have the camp there?
Normally, you see, our team is there for about 7 days. So what we do is the first day, as soon as we reach, we need to have a bit of rest, so we're at the hotel. And then straight away on the next day, that's usually Sunday, we have a whole day conference. Now here, this is also Swami's grace, you know, we've been able to involve, because when I realized Swami was always encouraging doctors to have conferences so that other people can benefit out of it. And that was the reason we start when we did our first camp, I wanted to organize this particular conference. And that's what we, fortunately, with Swami's grace, at any cost, we've been able to do this conference. So it doesn't cost a penny to participants. University helps out with the finances, as well as we have been able to finance a little bit. And now that your College of General Practitioners from Fiji itself have been involved too, because when we first started, started, I thought, you know, we will just only have few doctors. But then now, it is now we're going into our fifth year. Last year was a real success. The whole of nearly about 300 people was full. Mm. Because what's happening is even the GPs in the area have realized the value of the education. Mm. And they've been getting some of the Sai values from our doctors through these conferences. And also students get a lot out of this from these conferences. So then after the next day, we start our camp. So Monday, Tuesday, up to Friday.
Mm.
So we have 5 days of camp.
On different places in Fiji?
It is different places, and usually in a rural area.
Mm.
We don't hold camps in an urban area because they are only small hospitals and not a really big hospital.
Mm.
They don't have specialty unit. They've got just general dental ward, and they will have a general surgical ward and gyne obstetrics and things like that. But they don't have any other major facilities. And they too, you know, they've got to wait for quite some time before they can get those facilities. So this works out that, you know, we're setting up in the rural area where people can have to travel a fair bit otherwise to get to there. Even in those rural areas, people will be traveling from distances, say about 15 to 20 kilometers or even longer to come to our camps. So that they'll benefit out of those facilities.
Now, what about these medical students? Do they also accompany you all the 7 days?
Yeah, they are with us for 6 days, on the conference day and the 5 days afterwards.
So about their food and accommodation?
So what happens, you know, normally, initially we had issues that, you know, we might not be able to provide for their food. But then we thought, you know, they are part of our colleagues.
Mm.
So the university provides some funds for them.
Okay.
And the side organization and the local community where they prepare our meals, like, you know, they prepare for lunches and dinner for us at the site. So the whole community, it's a really beautiful thing to see, you know, where how the community comes together also.
Mm.
Because, you know, they realize the value of service to their own community as well as us. And that's how the students are also with us in as far as meals are concerned.
Have these students come to Prashant Nilayam?
Unfortunately, I don't think any of them have
okay.
come.
Okay, in future they may be coming.
Yeah, maybe, definitely.
Okay. Now, what is the impact on the beneficiaries, on the patients after this activity?
Benefit for the patients have been that, you know, certain consultation they won't be able to get as easily as we have been offering.
You're offering it free of cost.
Yeah, because a lot of people, we have got a lot of different skills with us, especially medical and dental and all those sort of things, which are not easily available in Australia, in Fiji, sorry.
Fiji.
And even though we are doing not too much of invasive except for the dental area, we, now that, you know, Dr. Gyaneshwaram, who is, and his wife, Swaran Naidu, are the two gynecologists who are based at Fiji, we can follow them up afterwards if there was any need. And because they've been involved with the university as well as the local hospital, they can follow up all the pathology that need to be followed up. So they get the benefit of all that out of that. As well as quite a number of times we have been able to diagnose things which haven't been easily been able to diagnose. And I remember the first time we went there, there was an incidence of, we had a pediatrician on our team as well as some surgeons, and they picked up a child with a cancer in the mouth.
Mm.
And that child wouldn't have had proper treatment if it was not consulted at that time. And we planned how we're going to sort of organize that child to get some services. And fortunately, the father of the child was working for a good side devotee firm, and that they had their own private fund. So through that private fund, the child sent the child to India, and the child had a full treatment and has survived quite well.
Okay.
So I saw her just last trip, and she's really turned out beautiful little girl. So those are the things, those are some of the stories that we come across. And quite a number of times people have a lot of suffering because of psychological issues. So we have psychologists on our team too, as well as some of our doctors have been trained into psychology, as well as musculoskeletal problem. There are a lot of farmers working in farms, and they suffer from a lot of back pains, neck pains, shoulder pains, knee pains. And we as team have organized to give certain cortisone injection, which can be helpful for a short period at least, but at the same time train them into how to manage their activities properly so that they don't do harm to their body. At the same time, as as I said, you know, part of the activity that we do is prevention. And in prevention, what we have, if we've got a dedicated patient education teacher who starts sessions, half an hour session on different topics, men's health, women's health, diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety and depression and all those sort of things, and how to deal with all sort of things, and the diet and all those sort of things. So those things really will go a long way as far as prevention is concerned. Because we can treat the conditions, but at the same time, if we can prevent, that's most important.
Yes, prevention is better than cure.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so now, apart from organizing this Sai Medical Camp in Fiji, you also come to Prashanthalayam and serve in Swami's General Hospital, right?
Well, Swami's grace, I've been able to do that.
Yeah. So how often in a year you come?
Initially I couldn't do it that often because I had my full-time practice. So I've been, first time I came was on Baba's 75th birthday, when Baba first time allowed doctors from overseas to do free medical service, and with then Dr. Radha Vatina's guidance, we did a medical camp, and that was my first time. And then since then, I've been at least five times. So recently, it has been more frequent because I retired from my full-time practice.
Okay.
So I'm on just working 3 days a week in Sydney and more focused in acupuncture. And as I said, I was here in the year 2011 last, and this time again. And before we are not allowed to do, because my focus is acupuncture, where I find that, you know, people can be helped with a lot of musculoskeletal problem without putting on to drugs which can have a harmful effect on the stomach as well as kidneys and blood pressure. Whereas this time, fortunately, I've been given permission to use my laser machine, because it's a laser machine, non-invasive.
Okay.
Using that, I found with Swami's grace, where I would get results after more treatments than here. Within few treatments, I've been getting patients who have had relief, some who have suffered from nearly 7 or 8 years, and they've been getting a lot of benefit. So my plan is in future to, I've left some charts especially for treating some of the conditions which can be treated with easily with acupressure. And maybe once I get back home, I've been showing one of the doctors here how to use a laser machine that I have, which is a very portable machine which can be non-invasive and can get a lot of benefit. And if they can start using those sort of things, I'll send them one of the machine as soon as I get my own personal new one. So that may be useful again.
Okay, sir. Finally, before concluding, just I want to ask you one final question. All the way from Australia, you come here and do selfless service in Swami's General Hospital. So what makes you do that?
Swami. It's Swami who has started. And as I'm telling you, I feel so glad that Swami has given us this opportunity. And this is the form that has been close to us. We were not in the time of Rama, Krishna, but Swami has shown us that, you know, all his life, till the end, he was serving. So, and we feel that, you know, this is what Swami was all about. And if we can do this service all the time, it can help us to elevate us to what he wanted us to be.
Okay, wonderful. So thank you for taking your time and coming to our studio and sharing with us about the Sai Medical Camp that is happening in Fiji. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You are listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony. Radio Sai brings to you every day the teachings and the universal message of love of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, you just heard a conversation that I had recorded on 9th March, that is 5 days ago, with Dr. Gunanaka. He is a general physician from Sydney, Australia, and he had come to Prashanthalayam for the occasion of Shivaratri festival. So I met with him and I had recorded this conversation. He organizes a Sai Medical Camp in Australia and Fiji, and he told us about this Sai Medical Camp. Well, dear listeners, the time in our studio is 12:15, a warm afternoon here at Prashanthalayam Ashram. For next 15 minutes, I'll be playing for you a few songs from Asai Blossom product Sai Nadachari. These songs are sung by Maladi brothers and family. And dear listeners, after 12:30, welcome Brother Prem and Arvind,
and they will take over the next segment of today's Thursday Life, that is Afternoon Satsang. So till we meet next Thursday, dear listeners, stay tuned, stay inspired, and always keep smiling and be happy. And as always, placing this segment at the lotus feet of our beloved Swami Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, I sign off. Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you. సత్యము తెలిపిన సద్గురు స్వామికి సత్యము తెలిపిన సద్గురు స్వామికి అందరిలోని అంతర్యామివి సత్యము తెలిపిన సద్గురు స్వామికి అందరిలోని అంతర్యామివి శ్రీశైలములో సుందర శివుడవు శరవణ భౌరవు శ్రీశైలములో సుందర శివుడవు పళనిలో వెలసిన శరవణ భౌరవు విడకు విడనాడకు ఎదను ఎడబాయకు విడకు ఏమరు పాటుతో విడిసి పాటుతో ఎప్పుడైనానే తలచకున్నను పాటుతో విడిసి పాటుతో ఎప్పుడైనానే తలచకునను కంటికి రేపగ కాయుము ఎదనుండి ఎడబాయకుమా ఎదనుండి ఎడబాయకుమా విడకుమా విడనాడకు విడకుమా విడనాడకుమా విడకుమా విడనాడకు
రావణంను బ్రోవరా రావణంను బ్రోవరా రావణంను బ్రోవరా రావణంను బ్రోవరా రావణంను బ్రోవరా రావణంను బ్రోవరా జీవనో బ్రహ్మలో
Chimalo Brahmalo Chimalo Brahmalo Sivage Javadularo Chimalo Brahmalo Sivage Javadularo Prema Mila Melagu Chunde Sida Ramanandu Pravara Prema to Logavi Ramanandu Pravara Pepula Kai Kannata Buna Pupadaka Vira Vigi Pulakai Kannata Buna Pupadaka Vira Vigi Pulakai Kannata Buna Pupadaka Vira Vigi